the knowledge of the deen, ulum deen, there are two types of ulum. One, the first type of ilm deen, knowledge of deen, is the zahir, the apparent, the external, the visible. And the other ilm of deen, the knowledge of deen, is the batini, the internal deen knowledge. And both of these knowledge types have a link with the deen of Islam. Whether it's zahir, external, visible, or batin, internal, not visible. The ilm of zahir, the external knowledge or the visible knowledge, we have ilm of Qur'an, ilm of tajweed, ilm of tafsir, commentary of Qur'an, and we have ilm hadith, the knowledge of hadith, ilm fiqh, jurisprudence, and all of these things, these subjects are zahir, external, visible, apparent. And people learn the different subjects and go to the institutes and become scholars and ulama ikram, respected scholars, and people attain knowledge in different subjects and different sectors, and they serve the deen, they propagate the deen. In the same way, we have the ilm batin, the internal knowledge, and ilm batin, the place where the dars is given for this ilm is called the khanqah, and this is the knowledge of the internal self, of the ruh, of the spirit, of the heart. And both types of knowledge are essential, ilm zahir and ilm batin, and both knowledge have a link with each other, just like the body and the spirit, both are intertwined. If you have the body and no ruh, then that's the graveyard that you will go to, and there's no other destination. The ruh will come out and people will say, oh, he's passed away, put him into the grave. Is there any value of that person's life? No. In the same way, ilm zahir, you will have the value of ilm zahir when it is intertwined and also combined with ilm batin, the internal knowledge. So ilm batin is essential and ilm zahir is essential. So you need the knowledge of the internal self, you need the knowledge of the external, or sharia and sunnah, ilm zahir, Quran, sharia, you learn the rules and the principles. And if a person speaks against Quran, sharia, then he is fraud, he's deception, and it's magic, and you cannot have ilm batin like this. So this is something to understand. Now, what do we need? What do we require? For example, a person thinks he's a wali Allah, he's an awliya, or his heart, he follows his heart, he doesn't know neither ilm zahir. No, not one inch, not one hair's width can an individual move against the rules and the principles. If a person has the ilm of the batin and he goes and works against the sharia and the sunnah and the principles of deen, then he is the biggest magician. He can show as many karamat, miracles, and kashf, and he can be floating in the air, and visions, and so-called miracles, and so-called advanced information, etc., whatever you want to call it. Only those people can fall into the trap. Those people who are weak, who are weak in the action of Islam, their salah is weak, they're deceived by things what they say, their aqidah is weak. They say straight, oh no, 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 this person's high, he's reached high. Where's he reached high? Oh, he said this, or he saw this, or he predicted this. No. For the ilm batin, if you want to progress in ilm batin and Allah Ta'ala gives you a maqam and a status and a rank, then it's lazim. It is lazim. It's essential to follow the principles. And it's not necessary that the person, he's recognized by his kashf and his karamat, by his visions and his dreams, etc. Rather, in the Naqshbandi silsila, it is stated that we, the pious elders who have passed before us, the pious predecessors, they say we hide our karamat in such a way, just like an attractive woman hides her attraction. They say that we are ashamed. You know, the young girl, she's ashamed, she wants to hide her zenith. The same way the walis of Allah, they say, we are ashamed. We don't want to make something of ours obvious and apparent or visible, that our people come and say, oh, look, his karamat, his vision, his miracle. No. The Naqshbandi says that we have only one tool, one asset. If somebody wants to follow us, fine. If not, no problem. And what do we have? We have the asset of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one hand we have the Quran, and in the other hand we have the sunnah. We have no visions, no miracles, no karamat, nothing to show, nothing to say, nothing to show off about, boast about, nothing at all. Nothing at all. So no, for example, do we want to prove to somebody that we are I'm a wali, or I'm an elder, or do adab for me, or respect me, or hold me in high esteem, or give me money, or give me gifts? No. This is not the work of the Wali Allah, the people. And the Naqshbandi sister doesn't do this, nor do the other Salasil, nor do the other chains of the teachers. So ilm-e-deen, the knowledge of deen, you have the two subjects. The batin knowledge and the zahir knowledge, external and internal. The subject is different, what I want to discuss. But these two knowledges, types of knowledge, one knowledge you learn from Darul Uloom, and the ilm-e-batin you learn from the Khanqa. Nowadays, the Khanqa, the importance or significance has been reduced quite somewhat. That a sheikh has to go to the dunya, to the shops, or to the outside world to give people tarbiyah. Somebody on the street, on the road, you have to grab somebody somewhere else. Now the situation becomes such that people don't have time to come to the khanqa. The sheikh is on his own in the khanqa. Nobody comes to get the solution. But alhamdulillah, where Allah Ta'ala makes the khanqa, then they do also fill up and they do progress. There's no such a case. And they run just like the Darul Uloom run. And for example, you see the students here, there was no education, there was just one madrasa here, opening, and here, mashallah, look how much ilm has spread. In the same way, somebody opened one khanqa, opening, mashallah, in the whole of England, there are khanqas, the colors of the khanqas are there. So this is Allah Ta'ala's deen, because it spreads. These are the things of the deen, the branches of the deen. So if you do the work of the deen, why won't it spread? It will spread automatically. Allah Ta'ala's deen, Allah wants to spread His deen. So both types of knowledge are important, the Darul Uloom and the khanqa. Yeah, the khanqa, where you go and attain the batini, spiritual, internal knowledge, and the Darul Uloom, where you learn the external, zahiri knowledge. Now, the people want to earn the knowledge, attain the knowledge. There are many students today. You are Talib Ilm, and I am Talib Ilm, and we're all students, and we're all working to learn. We're striving to learn. We're all sitting as students. I'm with you, and we are students of ilm-e-batin, the ilm of the internal self, and zahir. This is the khanqa with the fadl of Allah. So converted after Maghrib, it becomes a khanqa, because it's the gathering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the batin, and the discussion starts. And everyone here have come here to attain the ilm-e batin, that how can we earn, how can we attain and learn the knowledge of the internal self. And there is no condition, he has to be a child or elder. Darul Uloom says 16 years old. Here, even if a 90-year-old man comes, he'll become a student. Or even very young, he'll become a student. And he can attain the phase with the blessing of Allah, with the grace of Allah, just like a young man attains the knowledge. So here there's no selection criteria based on age. Here you just need one thing, the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah. Whoever Allah Ta'ala sends His mercy to, he becomes a student. He comes to the khanqa and he learns the ilm of the batin. So this is a big ilm, great knowledge, ilm of the batin, ilm-e-ma'rifah, ilm-e-ludni, ilm-e-arfan, ilm-e-tasawwuf, ilm-e-tazkiyah. So many names, all the same thing. So this is the ilm we need to learn, the ilm we need to learn. So this silsila, this will continue, this practice will continue, learning. One person, for example, goes to a Darul Uloom to study, and there are so many students who become scholars, but from them, maybe there's one that sparkles and glows. If you look in the history of deen, from the students that have, for example, graduated from the beginning of time, from the Sahaba Ikram until now, how many students have passed and graduated and have earned and learnt the knowledge and sat in the madrasa? Thousands and tens and tens and tens and thousands of students who have earned, who have learnt, who have strived to learn the knowledge of the deen, from the Darul Ulooms or the madrasa institutes. But tell me, how many names are like Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, or Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, or how many are like Imam Malik rahmatullahi, how many are named Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, how many are named Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi? Tell me, there's only one of each of them, isn't there? The names I've just given. So alongside them, how many class fellows they must have had? The same Quran, the same fiqh, the same hadith, the same classes, the same knowledge, ilm ludni. How many people are Chishti? How many people are Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani in the spiritual knowledge, the internal knowledge? How many are Mujaddad al-Afthani? How many Baqi Bilazadeh? This is the ilm ludni. They're all students, and they all went to the khanqa, and thousands and hundreds of thousands of marids of the sheikhs. But how many earned the knowledge properly, and whose names glowed and were remembered for time to come? So this is the reason, isn't it? So what's the reason for this? That in one time there's only Imam Bukhari rahmatullah, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah was there, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was there, Imam Shafi was there. In the same way, the Mujtahideen and the Ilm-e-Batin, we have the great sheikhs. And in each time, in each generation, we saw the stars that sparkle. People followed them and reached to the uruj, to the heights. So this is a class, isn't it? We are students, aren't we, mashallah? You understand the point I'm making, or what I'm saying? Yes, this is how we discuss. So, what's the reason here? That what made those personalities attain a high rank? First is the fadl of Allah. Obvious, without that you cannot attain anything. But Allah Ta'ala has made some principles Himself. Allah can make anything happen, but Allah has made some principles. And you need to take the resources and the means to attain the end. Allah Ta'ala says, if you follow my principles, then my fadl will work on you. Just like my Hazrat used to say, that look, If you work hard, then rahmah will come, mercy will come. Allah's rahmah comes at that time when a person works hard. If you sit at home, oh, I'm not going to work, I can't do any business. No, you took some strides and drove your car. Or for example, you came to this majlis, Allah's rahmah has enveloped you and you've made some effort and Allah's rahmah has come. If you sat at home, would Allah's rahmah come? No. So the principle is make effort, physical effort we have to make. So Allah's fadl will come at the right time when a person makes an effort. So what's the reason here that there are from hundreds of thousands of students, one is successful, one glows, one sparkles, and one shines like a star, and people guide him. May Allah Ta'ala make us from one of them. May we become that person. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala makes us sparkle and glow, and our affairs goes to other people, our benefit. Look, there's one point here. I am steadfast, or I believe in one thing. If you do something, do it properly. Isn't it? Don't do 50-50. If you do 50-50, then one leg is there, one leg is there. You're not here, you're not there. If you want to grab a hold of something, you want to learn some ilm, then work hard and grab hold of one thing. Don't think left or right. Then the whole mashra, fiqh, hadith, and you want to do everything? Just like this line, ilme batin. So what should we do here? What's the benefit that we are entered in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we're there, we stood, and we're still monkeys and like animals after all that time. Allah Ta'ala says that such a big line you entered into, a madrasa you entered into, and you madman, you still have come back to me in the same way, like an animal, without any benefit. So make one asool, one principle. If you want to do something in this dunya, you work, you have an occupation. If you're taking the construction occupation, then work hard on that. And 3 months you'll learn how to buy a land, how to sell it, and who is the builder, the plasterer, the plumber, the electrician, where does it come from? You're a master developer. Why? Because you said that this is my occupation, this is my career, this is my profession and speciality that I want to go down the route to learn and to earn my money from. The same way the deen of Islam, we've entered into the path of ilm. So why do we want to become unsuccessful students? That's no good, is it? We need to be steadfast and work hard, make effort. I want to learn something, leave this world with something, work hard so I depart with something in my hand. I don't want to leave empty-handed, but I'm half a partridge, half a quail, one leg here, one leg there. Learn sometimes, don't learn. I do dhikr sometimes and I don't do it. I don't have time. Man, this ain't good, is it? What kind of joke is that? We're not here nor there. We're not to the left, to the right. We're not up, we're not down. Our leg is stuck in one place and in one room, and in the other leg in the other room. So I thought this for myself, and this came to my mind, and this subject came to my mind, that who were those people, those great personalities who became Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi? What was the struggling they did? What's the hard work that they did? This is the question mark, question mark, question mark. Do you understand what I'm saying? Isn't it? If you don't understand, put your hands up, because this is a classroom, so we'll explain, inshallah. So what did they do? What did they have that they became special select students? We need to do this as well. When we depart from this world, this line of tasawwuf that we are studying, we should rise on the Day of Judgment in a great maqam. We should realize, people should be able to see and say, ah, he's worked hard, he came from the world, he shined his batin, and he attained Allah's marifah in this world, and he entered into his class, used to sit in dhikr once a week, maybe. Just once a week. But he would sit with the ikhlas, with the depth of the heart, with the pain. And he said, I'm going to take something precious before I leave here. I'm not going to leave Allah, your gathering. I'm not going to leave empty handed. You sent me, I'm not going to stand up without the benefit, with the jazbat, with the passion, with the zest, with the desire. Like we've come here today, mashallah, we should have that passion, that strength of desire. Oh, I've come to dhikr, just time passing the time, it's too difficult. No, we should see the passion. I've seen the khankas, the environment, people who'd come from miles afar, miles away. They would have passion, their clothes were torn. They said, we're going to see Hazrat, Bari Hazrat Sahab, we're going to sit and do dhikr, we're going to see and name Allah Ta'ala's name and remember Allah. We'll spend the night there. In the morning after Fajr, there'll be maraqabah and dhikr of the heart for 2 hours. Aha, so happy they were. Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great thing. From morning we used to wait, one day before we'd wait and wait. And this desire and passion should be within the hearts. And that time it comes when a person does dua, that Allah, I am not useful, I am useless, and Allah, where I'm going to come to after I die, I need to get some success. So Allah, what is my consequence? It's a great conclusion result if a person follows the right path from the death till the day of Hashar. Totally clear path that Dhaki will get. No adab, no punishment, no punishment. And the person will become successful upon successful. So this is how we attain the success in this ilm. Now here, if we follow our desires, our agenda, our syllabus, then what's the point? We'll get beats in the grave, beats after that, difficulties after, right to the fashion. So brothers, if we've selected the path of the sawwaf and the ilm of batin, then do it properly. Make intention first and foremost, solid, robust plan. Allah, I want to attain success in this. Now, what is this? From 100, one man sparkles. From hundreds, from thousands, one person sparkles and shines. How comes this is? What did they do? How did they struggle? How did they work hard? Now, we have Imam Bukhari, alhamdulillah, and he had class fellows. Did they not know how to study? Did they not know they had the same ustad? They had the same teachers. They studied the same hadith. They did the same actions. So, why did they not get to that same position? Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi. Who was he? Imam Malik, rahmatullahi. Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi. These were those great personalities whose names are alive and are being revived until the day of judgment. The people who followed their fiqh, people say, I'm Hanafi, or someone's Shafi, or someone's Maliki, or someone's Hanbali. Why? Because they're following their guidance, they're following their principles. But why is this? Because they did practice on the ahadith. Yes, so they were students, but they looked at the principle that I'm going to study, and how should I study what I'm studying, the subject? When I learn something, what's necessary for me to do? I've got the kitabs, I've got the books, I've got the pen to write with, I've got the ustad, I've got the teacher. But what do I need to do? But what we learn from this Quran hadith, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the greatest, isn't it? And the greatest who came to this world, and he taught us that if you want to be successful, he would have told us, isn't it, how to be the best student. As Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu anhu narrated a hadith. I'm just giving you little pointers. This is a very big topic and we have to do dhikr. I'm just giving you some hints, some pointers, then we should build on them in our own time. So Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, stated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, look, when you go to learn knowledge, when you are a student, when you're learning knowledge, be careful of one thing. I'm giving you the meaning of the hadith. I'm just spreading the meaning of the hadith to you. Be careful of one thing. Whenever you are learning ilm of deen, whether it's dhahir, external, or batin. Say it loudly. Batin, yes. Internal knowledge. So both knowledge types have one usul, or the same usul. And there's no difference. They have the same usul. When you go to learn knowledge, when you set forth on the path to learn knowledge, be careful of one thing especially. That the place where you're going to, and the individual you're learning the knowledge from, that you should have to absorb all what comes from that direction. Subhanallah. These are the words of the hadith. That totally give yourself away for that knowledge. For your ustad in front of your teacher, become khak, dust, sand. In other words, be totally humble and low in front of the teacher. Totally give yourself up for the teacher. And this is the student nasiha, the students of Rasulullah. And those who accepted this, they became Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Based on this principle, this is one principle, this is the foundation principle if you want to attain the ilm. As Ali karamallahu wajh radiyallahu anhu, the great personalities, I'm presenting their statements to you. So his maqam in the world of knowledge, in the realm of knowledge, there's a hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Madinatul Ilm, I am the city of Medina, and he's the door to the city of. So in other words, he's the door of knowledge. Whoever wants to go into the city of knowledge has to go through the door, and he has to go through that door, which is Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh. Subhanallah. So that was the similitude that was used here. So such a great maqam Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh had, and radiyallahu anhu. What did he state, Hazrat Ali? He stated that, look, when you seek knowledge, when you go to somebody to seek knowledge, then remember you are the ghulam, you are like the servant. Yes, whether he sells you, whether he sets you free, whether he keeps you as a ghulam, as a slave, as a worker, you have to accept all the conditions of the teacher. What a great lesson. So first, totally annihilate yourself as dust, as sand. Humble yourself, lower yourself, and then totally give yourself to the teacher's direction and guidance. That there's nothing in your control, a student. The teacher can sell you, he can keep you, or he can set you free. This is the decision and choice of the teacher. Whatever the teacher decides, whatever angle, syllabus, agenda, schedule he creates, however he treats you in your mind, in your body, in your thoughts, in your emotions, you should never feel unhappy. Never should you even think for a second that you're unhappy about the teacher saying. Not even a jolt of unhappiness. Rather, in everything you should feel, this is the way. This is the path. This is how many difficulties come, any issues come, how much you're told off, whatever happens. But the student is the ghulam, the slave, the servant. There aren't any slaves today or servants. We have servants. And we hit them, astaghfirullah. We hit them, scold them, beat them. This in the morning, you have to do this in the night. There's no astaghfirullah respect for even the servant or the worker. But here, we're giving the status of the talib ilm, the student. He is sold into the direction. If the teacher says 3 p.m., you have to come 3 p.m. If he says 4 p.m., zikr today, 4 p.m. Today, this zikr, you have to reach there. The student never says, do I have to? Why? Why is it like this? Like today, to your murids. Some things, if you explain to the students, then you have to cover yourself after. I said this to you for this reason, my student. Please don't be unhappy with me, says the teacher to the student. So weird nowadays. How sad. If a teacher tells off the student today, then after that, the teacher has to cover himself. Sorry, my student, I didn't want to upset you. Rather, I said it for this reason. The reason was this. And then you have to have adab. The teacher has to have adab for the student. From hundreds of thousands, one student sparkles and shines. Adab is a foundation, and not everybody can have this. It's not difficult. It's easy. And if you do dua to Allah, as a student, Allah Ta'ala opens the hearts for the student. Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh. Now let's take Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. Oh, great faqih, great jurist. He had a maqam that respected scholars know better than me. He had a great status as a scholar, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhu. What was special about him? There were many other companions. What was special about him? What was his style that was unique? That once, one hadith, now I'll give you an example. He had to ask from somebody, from another companion. I'm telling you this. From another companion, he had to ask a masala, a question. And he's from the Ahlul Bayt. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas is the cousin of Rasulullah. He's the son of the uncle of the Prophet. A big maqam. All the companions respected him. He's from the family of the Prophet. So he realized once that another place, there's another companion, Sahabi, he's got a hadith. He said, okay, I'm going to go on a journey and get this hadith from him. Listen, he traveled miles and miles and miles. You know, it was difficult to get water and dates. It was a long journey. When he reached there, when he got to that city, it was severe heat. In the afternoon, you know, today, if you ask the Haji today, how hot is it? Nowadays, you've got AC, air conditioning, even in Saudi, where the Hajis are, but there, from between the heavens and the earth, the crust of the earth was hot. There was no way to stand or sit. This is something to think about, my friends. And their names today are sparkling and glowing. For what reason? Such a great faqih, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas, that every Sahabi used to believe what he said. Until today, his statements, his sayings are spreading with the affairs of Allah. He is great companions of the Prophet would come to Abdullah bin Abbas to ask him about hadith and masail. So two things are present about him. One, so he went on that journey far. He traveled. It was hot afternoon. Everyone sleeps, isn't it? After dhuhr, afternoon time, nobody wakes up. So hot breeze, hot wind, and it's difficult. And a person, he gets tired and exhausted due to the heat. Subhanallah, what great effort he made to learn the knowledge. He went, it was afternoon time. He said, what shall I do? He sat in front of the door. He could have knocked on the door of that person he went to meet, and he would have let Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas in. He would have, subhanallah, said, subhanallah, that I am so indebted to you that you've come to me. That Sahabi would have said to Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas, but no, Abdullah bin Abbas did not disturb him. He sat on his doorstep. The evening time came, Asr time came. After Asr, then the evening starts to come, a bit of coolness comes. Then the Sahabi came out. He said that when he comes out, then I'll ask him the masla or the hadith, what I've come to learn. He kept on sitting. Then when the evening time came, he saw the other person came. He said, he was amazed. When did you come? He couldn't lie and reply. He said, I came at this time. He said, he was shocked. He said, you waited so long that you are the family of Rasulullah. What have you done? You were waiting for me for the sake of Allah. You could have knocked on my door. You could have called out to me. Shout out to me. You sat here like this in such extreme heat and wind and breeze. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas said that you are the ustad and I am the student. You are the teacher and I'm the student. And it is not my right I give you. I pester you. I came to learn from you. Abdullah bin Abbas, he said, I wanted to ask you a masla. Subhanallah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, from him he was asking, look at adab. He said that my situation of adab manners was such that I used to go and I considered that I will disrespect Hazrat Umar. Imagine Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. who's the cousin of Rasulullah, and Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas said that, "I used to go close, and for 2 years, 2 years passed like this, I couldn't approach him," Hazrat Umar. 2 years passed, I didn't dare that I could approach him and ask him. I felt disrespect. And now our mouths just open like this. We'll start sitting. Oh, we opened our mouths wide. And nowadays we disrespect the Ustad. The Ustad who's taught us, who's given us teaching, maybe the first qaida, he's taught us the alphabet, and then we go into, after the first class, second class, and the student walks past the teacher because he thinks he's a small teacher, and I'm in Bukhari, and I'm telling you the truth about the students today. The disrespect level that is, and we can't even understand. Then after graduating, what are we going to do? Smoke the cigarettes and whistle after other people? What else are the students going to do with such discipline? Let me tell you the secret to success. The Rasulullah has stated that first absorb yourself as dust as sand, and be like a slave as a worker, and obedient to the teacher. You have to have respect, you will get respect, you will get destiny. If you're disrespectful, you have bad destiny. You can sit all your life and do 100,000 dhikr every day, but without adab, you will attain nothing. A person who has khawf, a person who has fear, who has the lazzat and the taste, that I'm learning that knowledge, the ilm al-ludani, ilm al-ma'rifah, irfan, and this is my teacher. And directly Allah Ta'ala has appointed this person as my teacher. And so much respect and khawf and adab comes into your heart. Subhanallah, ulum will open up without any condition, without any restriction, that ulum will open up. And nowadays, look at the students. Oh, they would criticize. This is qiyatul rijal, the draft. This is the sign of the day of judgment. Masjids will be full. Darul ulums will be full. Institutes will be full. There'll be many students and there'll be many people calling themselves wali wala. Nowadays, peer, this peer, that peer. There's so many lists. There are less murids today, more peers. Oh, there's clamor and noise. And though so many people will desire to become peer. People leave their line of hadith or fiqh or jurisprudence. They're teaching fiqh, hadith. No, I want to be a sheikh as well. I want to be a peer as well. Because they see the dunya in that. They see the respect in that. They see the status in that. Look, Allah Ta'ala has put you onto a path. Do that work of the deen. You don't have to do mujahidah. You've done no mujahidah. You've not had any sohbat. You've not traveled. This whole line of ilme batin, tasawwuf, is totally mujahidah. Struggle and striving, traveling, meeting, learning. A person like me, Najiz, humble servant, who has no knowledge, and Allah Ta'ala ground me into the company that I'm not nothing, a sheikh or wali, just for attaining a name, the title that's been given. Allah Ta'ala has given. How do you learn the name of Allah? Allah Ta'ala gave me the method that you've got the desire, you want to learn the name of Allah in England. This is how you learn the name. You have to make the effort, spend time. The whole body would feel the struggle. But then, even then, I did not fulfill the haqq of my ustad, my teacher. I'm telling you, I swear by Allah, that not even a speck of dust, I don't have the right, the capability, I'm nothing. I was totally disrespectful all the time. I have no awareness of my teacher. But Allah Ta'ala said that you will learn, look how you will learn the name of Allah. So in that time, the elder, the times gone by, if they knew that even learning alif ba, they'd respect the person who's learning Allah from the teacher. What about the respect for that teacher, that alum they are learning? I'm speaking about those great sheikhs who passed in history. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he said, I couldn't dare for 2 years to approach Hazrat Umar. Once, after 2 years at the time of Hajj, when I got an opportunity, then I requested Hazrat Umar, and Hazrat Umar looked at me in a weird way. He said, why didn't you ask me before? Because he, the ustad, the teacher who is your sheikh, he is not required, he does not require adab. He doesn't need your respect or request your respect that you come and press his legs or astaghfirullah, bow in front of him or press his hands or legs or arms. The murid thinks that I'll do adab today and I'll get close to my teacher, astaghfirullah. This is also dangerous. Adab, to respect the teacher, when you give adab, the heart should have the adab respecting it. So bow your heart, and you have four or five people standing in front of the door of the teacher, serving the teacher, assisting the teacher. What's he thinking, the student? Oh, I'm going to serve the teacher, the sheikh will be happy with me, then I'll be successful. And then in isolation, he's disrespectful, he's doing silly actions, be opening his mouth, talking nonsense and rubbish, and giving accusations to people. I'm telling you the truth. That against the sheikh, many techniques, the student will speak against the teacher. And when he sees four or five people around the sheikh, oh, I'm this, I'm your student, I will serve you, teacher. Nowadays, amongst the peers and the murids and nowadays sheikhs, this is the situation between them. If you want to do adab, there should be isolation. You should be on your own. Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi, listen to this. He was on his own, seclusion, ill, severely ill, and he is badly ill. He couldn't get up, exhausted. Very difficult was it for him. And he had to lean against the wall to seek assistance. And somebody came to meet him, isolation, darkness. And somebody came to him and he named the Ustad. Soon as he named Ustad, then his illness disappeared and he suddenly stood up. Imam Ahmad, I'm speaking about, he suddenly stood up. SubhanAllah. And he started to tremble and shake. He said, "You have named my Shaykh. You said the name of Shaykh and my awareness has come in, my consciousness has come back to me. I cannot bear that without respect." And I stood up when I heard the name of my teacher. I had to stand up. Allahu Akbar. And he was ill. So this is adab, the respect. Not that adab that you are pleasing the teacher for the sake of the teacher. Forget the teacher, you are disrespecting him. And the Shaykh, the true teacher, the Kamil Shaykh, he's not mad or stupid. He knows where this person's going, which direction he's going down, which road he's traveling down, what is his maqam, why is he speaking, or why is he respecting. Don't think you can make a Kamil Shaykh a fool. Doesn't matter. Those people who aren't the real Shaykhs, those people who are half this, half that, not genuine, you can deceive them because they'll want your assistance for the sake of the dunya. But the true Shaykh, you cannot deceive him. Oh, do this, Shaykh Sahib, I'm your servant, or I'm your student, I love you, and this and that. And no, if you have in the depths of your heart the ikhlas, the sincerity, the desire, the want, subhanAllah. So when the person learns from another person, then imagine the respect for the name. So this is the appreciation for the name. That after reciting the name of Allah and you've learnt it from the Ustad, imagine the taste you'll get if you got the adab. But our Rasul are bad, they are wrong. We've made this a game. So Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi, we say Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi, what a great faqih, what a great scholar. And his Ustad was Hammad. Yes, people know this, they're aware of this. And his sister was Atika. And she said, "You know this individual, this person, Abu Hanifa, who you call Abu Hanifa, subhanAllah." She said that he was our servant, our worker. He used to come to our house, he used to work, make effort. He used to make the cotton, he used to wash the dishes, he used to clean the clothes, bring the milk for us, and buy the vegetables for us, subhanAllah. There's such a big khadim, he was of service, Imam Abu Hanifa, when he reached to the high level of khidmat, and the sister of his teacher, Mad, and then he became the makhdum of the whole generation. Makhdum generation, Imam Abu Hanifa. And today we call ourselves Hanafi, we are proud of this. The biggest alim, the faqih muhaddith today, will say that I'm the student of Imam Abu Hanifa. He will put the name Hanafi to get the respect. And what was the maqam of his adab with his teacher? Wash the dishes, bring the water from the well, wash the clothes and clean the shoes. Why? Because he wanted to learn ilm, knowledge and nothing else. He wanted to learn ilm. And he was sent, he sold himself. And this is the point, these people, before they learn knowledge, before they study the hadith and Quran, they learn the tariqah, that we are going to learn this knowledge. And the secret behind the success is our adab. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. Adab, such a great status and hadith knowledge. And I'm ashamed of saying this, the ulama akram are sitting, I shouldn't say such things, I speak according to my capacity and capability, but because this is such a gathering, a majlis of tazkiyah, so I'll speak in broken words, and I'm presenting requests to you. So Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, look at this now, he had so much adab. Everyone teaches the hadith, and some people without wudu, they teach, they, "Oh, it's not necessary, fiqh, jurisprudence, you're teaching Quran? Oh, it's okay, I'm not touching with my hand, I'm just pushing it here with this part of the body, subhanAllah, astaghfirullah, I seek forgiveness." So this is the adab, our adab, this is the hal, that look there on the other side. He is teaching the hadith. Imam Malik rahmatullah is teaching the hadith in Masjid al-Nabawi, in the Prophet's Mausoleum. Do you understand scorpion? The scorpion, like the, you know, the big spider, insect. What do we say in different things in Gujarati? We say bichu in Punjabi. We say different things. So do you know that it's cut me, and maybe it's cut you, but I have been cut. And the style of the scorpion is such, it doesn't take a second, you start trembling. Oh, severe pain comes. Just like, you know, fire has been put in your body. That's how he bites you. Dung, he goes. Yeah? So Imam Malik Ramdo is sitting in Masjid Nabawi and he's giving the dars with his students. There are thousands of students he taught. Thousands. This is the adab. With the adab, with which respect, that the scorpion, the insect, came and cut him all over his body. All over his body. And he must have had pain, he must have had distress in the face. But in the adab, he didn't even move a millimeter while he taught the hadith. SubhanAllah, Sayyid Badr, say SubhanAllah. He didn't move because he was teaching the hadith. In Medina, he used to walk barefoot. Barefoot who? Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. Yes, and subhanAllah, such a person who used to teach, and what was the adab? Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Shafi was his student, wasn't he? And look at his adab, subhanAllah. He stated that this is my ustad, Imam Malik. And in my life, I cannot remember. Imam Shafi rahmatullah said, I cannot remember any moment in my life that I have turned the page over, that the noise of turning the page has gone to the ears of my teacher. Is I consider this disrespect that I would turn the page, the leaf of the page, and the noise of the page would go to my sheikh. This is how careful I was. I had the adab in front of my teacher, in front of my sheikh. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Tell me, look at the love for the sake of Allah. This is all for the sake of Allah. This is not for Imam Malik Ramdulay. This is for the sake of Allah, that I'm going to please him and I will get ilm and I will get the marifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will get the knowledge of Allah. Imam Shafi Ramdulay, he worked, did the work of the deen. I think about 40 years old he was when he passed away, Imam Shafi. He did that work of the deen in 40 years, that the world is amazed at what Imam was born, Imam Shafi Ramdulay. And why? Because of these reasons we've discussed. Look at these points. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and the Imam Shafi. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Look at his adab. Once he was walking in the bazaar, in the marketplace. In the bazaar. He said, I can't remember. He said, I can't remember. It never occurred that I named my sheikh by name. I could never imagine that I spoke to my teacher by name. I used to give him hints and glances, you could say. Yeah. Once he was in Baghdad, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah. And there was the time of the king at that time, and he was Hanbali. And what happened at that time? You know, he took the rein of the camel, and he's walking, and his neck is bowed. Imam of his time, such a great imam, the imam of his time, and he's there walking with his neck bowed. And on top of the camel is somebody else, torn clothes and disheveled, and not neat, and the blankets torn and the clothes are torn. And somebody said, Imam, what are you doing? You're walking with this person, you have ilm, the knowledge, this is disrespect of your knowledge. Why is this person sitting on the camel next to you and you're walking? He said, be quiet, who are you speaking about? This is my sheikh, my teacher. If he was not to be, then I wouldn't be Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Subhanallah. So my brothers, this is a very important point that we've discussed today, this subject, and this door has not closed. Hakimul Ummat. Subhanallah, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah. Now let's come closer to our day and age. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahimahullah, what a maqam, what a status, what rank Allah Ta'ala gave him. What great personalities there were. I remember another event in between, that there's a person who wrote a great event, that there was a great imam in Bukhara, and he wrote an event that we couldn't understand, that such a big imam, such a great sheikh, and Allah has given him a maqam. That once what happened, that he was sitting with the imam in the masjid, and while he was in the masjid, the children were playing out in the street. Like, here we have the masjid and the doors open there, isn't it? In our countries where there's heat and the doors open, there's nothing there, and there's an open plain outside, and the children were playing outside. And one child came and passed by and passed the imam, and the imam jumped and stood up and put his hands together. And I said, what's this? It's just a child who's gone past. And the child went, and his face was red. I said, Hazrat Sheikh, what's the problem? He said, nothing. This child went past. He is the son of my Sheikh. So for the respect, I had to stand up for the child of my Sheikh. Subhanallah. Is there anyone like this who can say this, who thinks like this? No respect. So this is it, my friends. That I remember an event of my Hazrat. If I don't speak about my Hazrat, then we have not succeeded. So I remember Hazrat Sheikh, Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi, rahmatullah alayhi. You know about this, don't you? You know his name, grandfather Sheikh. And his grandson, Hazrat Fazal al-Qureshi, his grandson, and Hakimul Ashasa, mashallah, and he is the Ghadi Nashin, he is the deputy today. And he was a child in front of my Sheikh, just like I said, that the alim, the scholar who got up when he saw the son. So Hazrat Fazal al-Qureshi's grandson, and he and my Sheikh Hazrat was the one person who was alive. The last Khalifa of Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh was alive, was my Sheikh Hazrat Ali Mutazamte, and mashallah, long age. So he went to see Hazrat in the evening. Mashallah, he was Shakirin, he had a maqam. And
The grandson of Hazrat Fazlul Quraysh wasn't similar to my sheikh in the rank and the status, but what happened here? I'm telling you that waqia, that event that I saw and that I heard. So see the hal here. So my Hazrat's going to meet his sheikh, and we could have said, oh, he's a child, he's the grandson of the sheikh. He's not the son of the sheikh, he's the grandson of the sheikh. He's come, maybe give him some water or just... So look at the hal of Hazrat, my sheikh. When my Hazrat must have seen a kashu, wallah walam, and he didn't get up after Isha, and the whole jamaat had to sit there. And this was not the event. The Hazrat would leave straight away after Isha. Hazrat Sahib didn't get up. And it was severe heat. And they're out in the courtyard. And maybe there was some cool breeze. No, everyone's in Maraqaba. Everyone's doing dhikr. And suddenly, Hazrat jumped up. Hazrat would never leave straight away. 80 years, more than that, was his age. Hazrat suddenly stood up and considered this point. That left the straw mat, not even on the straw mat. Hazrat went onto the earth with the dust. And everyone was afraid. What's Hazrat doing? We've never seen Hazrat leave like this so sudden. And they saw that Hazrat Karimullah Shah Sahib had come, the grandson of Hazrat Fazlul Quraysh. And subhanAllah, and everybody knew who he was quite well, that he was the grandson of Hazrat Fazlul Quraysh, who was the sheikh of my sheikh. And totally silent, Hazrat's breath stopped. Ajib hal, unique hal and condition at some of them was quiet. And he started to cry, the grandson. We said, Hazrat, what is it you're doing? That he said, Hazrat, I shouldn't have come, I shouldn't have done this. He started to press the feet, and Hazrat was, and he said, no, you sit down. And Hazrat by force sat him next to himself on his prayer mat, and he suddenly ran away from Hazrat. And this is the scene to look at, the adab, the respect. And Hazrat went and prepared all the kids and the women, and after that, Hazrat said, you have come, all my children, please give them bayah. So they can pledge allegiance to you. This is the scene to look. Can anyone see this scene in the world? And this is called the Sacha, true student, pakka, solid student. And subhanAllah, he started to cry, the grandson, that please, Hazrat, where am I stuck? For the sake of Allah, forgive me. And Hazrat said, no, please, mercy, have mercy on my children. And Hazrat put all of them, all of the children, Hazrat Mulana Shah Sahib and Mulana Saq Sahib, who is the Gadini Shah, maybe he's listening. Everyone was called Hazrat's children. And nobody dared to say anything. Hazrat's mother, wife, children, everyone who was in Parda. And everyone was given bayah to the grandson of Hazrat. He said, I was so happy that all my children, my family are today, have become the khadims of my sheikh today in the silsila. SubhanAllah. So this, brothers, is adab. This is a very big subject, importance of my friends. This, in this day and age, we see the up and downs we have. That somebody become Bukhari, and somebody was a student with him, and we don't even know their names today. Somebody became Abu Hanifa, but there's no name of the other students. Somebody became Hakim al-Ummat, and they were the colleagues of his. And I remember when I was young, so much, subhanAllah, khidmat was done. Maybe you've read this event. Was my Hazrat was an ashik, a lover of Hazrat Tanwir ibn Dhari, mashallah, my sheikh. And he used to love him. And there were great, great pearls. My sheikh's life passed in his young life amongst the great sheikhs, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat and other great sheikhs. And a lot of service, and their children were young, because Allah wanted to make them sparkle and shine. They had learned the sabak first, that this is the way of success. First, adab, he used to serve his ustad, and he was fanafal ustad. And his father thought, Bade Hazrat Sahib's father thought, that why is he running after the khidmat and the love? So let's change his madrasa. Switch the madrasa. So when Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat's madrasa, change it. Hazrat heard that my madrasa is being changed, where I study now, and being taken to another ustad. The Hazrat stopped eating and drinking. This was Hakim al-Ummat. He stopped eating and drinking, totally free. And the people at home are distressed. The mother is the mother. And she said that, for the sake of Allah, our child, he will pass away. Let him keep on going to the same madrasa, same teacher. So then he kept on studying, and he was sent to the same place. And that's where Hazrat graduated from, alhamdulillah. And then his life was after that. And just the way he studied with such love and with khidmat and service. And then he shined, and see what he became. So imagine, what is his maqam? Hazrat Qasmi, rahmatullah, Mulana, Muhaddis, great. He was the student of Hazrat Qashmi, rahmatullah. Imagine this point now, that when he used to ask a masla, what would he do? He'd go in the afternoon, same hadith he had studied, he'd sit at the door of the teacher, and when in the evening he would come out, the teacher, then with such respect, he'd say, Hazrat, I need this masla. He said, why didn't you knock on the door? He said, no, Hazrat, this is against the respect, I couldn't do that. SubhanAllah. And who else can I mention to you? This is a big history subject, but the point boils down to one thing, my friends. If you want to do the work, then do the work totally, 100%. Otherwise, there's no benefit. Everything that's in Quran, Hadith, and this knowledge with this principle, this success here, however much you can, with your capacity and capability, with ikhlas, sincerity, with love, attain knowledge. ilm fiqh, jurisprudence, or ilm batin, internal knowledge. And this is not some small ilm that you are learning. This is a total subject. This is the ruh of the life. This is the spirit of success in this world and the next. Take this ilm seriously. Take this knowledge seriously. There's no limit to the seriousness, because our age is now so much, we can't go to Darul Uloom. But alhamdulillah, we have such a knowledge that in the akhirah, in the hereafter, you'll see that maqam, that those uloom will also come with you. Those subjects of knowledge will also be with you. So may Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq also. And this point came to my mind. The adab is a very big thing. A person who has adab, respect, has good destiny. And whoever doesn't have respect, doesn't have destiny. May Allah Ta'ala give us respect. May Allah give us ikhlas, true love. And make us away and far from nifaq, hypocrisy, drama, showing, pride, waste of time activities. And we want the adab. If we want the adab, that our shaykh becomes happy with us, or we bribe him, or deceive him, or trick him, or if I pick up his shoes and he'll come into my control and he'll be favoring to me. These deceptions do not succeed here. These with the genuine shaykhs do not pass. Even if the big people with high status, the shaykh doesn't say anything to them, but they laugh in the heart that, what is this person trying to make me a fool? That is this his style? And just to keep his heart, they say nothing. But the person who does khidmat, service with the depths of the heart, alhamdulillah, he realizes separately. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen.